Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is really about the evolution of who we are as a planetary civilization. And this program has included many discussions about ETs, the awakening of the greater mind, and where we're moving into as a planetary civilization. And I think out of all the people I've researched, tonight's guest, Mary Rodwell, is really close to what I feel in my own beliefs is this evolution of consciousness. She has the Foundation for Research of Extraterrestrial Encounters and has been researching this field for many, many years. Welcome, Mary.
Alan, a pleasure.
Yes, I mean, as in my research with all the great people in this field, I feel your orientation to consciousness and this understanding of who we are in this transition time is very important. How would you describe that approach?
Well, I think ultimately it leads to only one thing, and that is human consciousness. And with however someone ultimately interprets their experience, it goes to what I call the level of soul. And, you know, in terms of who we are, what is it all about, we ultimately get led to that focal point, whether it's extraterrestrial encounters, whether we're mediums and we see spirits or fairies or elementals, or whether or not we've had near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, or we feel like, you know, we're more connected to what I call our star family than our human family. Ultimately, it's all of us trying to understand this human journey and understanding what consciousness is, because I believe a lot of these intelligences are basically giving us a wake-up call to realize that we belong to a community of consciousness that is not only physically extraterrestrial, but extra-dimensional, interdimensional, and possibly, you know, visitors from our future, but all in the one. All in the one matrix of consciousness.
Right. I agree with that. And I think as a lot of people get into this field, they realize there is a level of spiritual expansion. But what I've been trying to understand and focus on is in the contact experience is the altered state. At least this has been my experience is, you know, we have a normal, let's call it beta state of perception. What I find happens, and other people I've talked to, is that awareness is shifted. There's a, in the contact relation, there's some other, I wouldn't quite call it a distortion of the field, but you could say there's a shift of awareness. Do you find that's true?
Absolutely. The unfortunate thing is that we are still programmed into a paradigm that says unless it's solid, touch, feel, smell, and hear it, it's not real. And we're absolutely at the point now of understanding that our reality is multidimensional in nature. And despite the fact that we're being tried to be programmed into this limited third dimensional box, all of us know we have experiences out of the box, whether we want to admit to it or not. And I think that we're at a point in our evolution and in our shifting of paradigms where we are now opening up to that understanding. And many people, Alan, that have had these experiences, it's not in trance state. They will actually be in full conscious state when they're experiencing these, particularly the children who are still, you know, at a point where they have a clarity and are not programmed or educated out of their experience.
But there's many, I mean, they actually may be those children in a higher state or an altered state than the normal, I would say, conditioned mind. I mean, so many people in our culture have no orientation, have no awareness, and therefore it's not part of their reality, and they don't have the accessibility to those levels of consciousness. That's what I would say. So how do we start to create a doorway for those people that have no idea?
It's an interesting question. and I'm asked that in different ways all the time. I think, first of all, to raise our awareness, to raise our perceptions, is first to be aware of it. Secondly, to have the intent to raise it so that we're putting out that frequency that we are open and willing to explore the greater reality. And we all have potential to do that. I have never believed that some people can do it more than others. I just believe some are more prepared to explore that aspect of ourselves, and meditation and relaxation exercises are one way to actually start to be accepting that our consensus reality is not the only reality. That in itself assists us to start tapping into those other realms. And for me, I learned how to interpret my non-physical world. And by that, it means just getting, you know, doing certain healing models, for example, like Reiki, or some of those working with energies may in fact raise your frequency and what have you. But primarily, it's about intent. It's about you looking at your diet, looking at the way you live. All those things, you know, we know that there are many things that limit our awareness because, you know, whether or not it's not very good food that we're eating, for example, which may change our frequency or whatever. But it's everything to do with how we think and what our intent is. And that's my understanding of how things start to shift in terms of our awareness.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But there's one other aspect of the, I feel comes up a lot, is the fact that there's a trauma that can be involved, especially if you want to call it abduction. People confront a phenomena that they have no reference for, and I'm sure you know, people go into fear, they go into real shock. I mean, it's quite a wake-up call that actually, I feel, gets pushed to one part of people's minds where they actually block it out. You know, there's amnesia, there's all that. So I know what you're saying about integrating and opening up, but what about the traumatic aspect of the whole phenomena?
I think the trauma is a modern day shamanic experience of facing your fear. And I say that because some individuals, as I feel is part of the soul journey, choose different ways to wake up. For some, it might be losing someone very dear and close to them, gets them to start exploring other aspects of their reality because, you know, they may sense that person around them or feel them around them, for example. Others may have a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience, which opens them up to this. The thing with the abduction experience, I participated in a thesis, which was a comparison between abductions and shamanism with Simon Harvey Wilson, who in Western Australia in 2000. And what he discovered by comparisons between the two was the parallels were extraordinary. And and if we know that within shamanism, what the shaman has to do to be fully functional is transcend their human fears so they can operate in a multidimensional world. And this is exactly the same kind of challenge that comes through an abduction experiences. Are you going to stay in fear, or are you going to start exploring and understand and making an effort to understand what's going on and to actually become more accepting as that is part of your reality? And as you do so, it changes the way that you view everything in this paradigm. It is you can't change the way you shift. It actually happens. And I've met many of those which I call very left-brainers, the ones that have done higher education, for example, that have been educated even more into this rigid paradigm. And when they see a being standing by their bed, for example, that they can't explain, that their partner the next day says, yes, I saw it too, or they've seen craft in the sky that they have never know full well isn't from here, then it's like, well, are you going to deny this? Or are you going to at least allow yourself to explore what this means? And that means transcending your fear of being normal, transcending your fear of, you know, suddenly not being normal, not being able to talk about this perhaps because professionally it's going to compromise you. Actually exploring the fact that everything you ever believed in is not the same anymore. That in itself is a huge fear. And then what do these beings want with me? you know, why, what is this, what does this mean? I've got no control in my life. How terrible. And if this is affecting my children and my families, my goodness me. So all those are the human fears that we have to face once we are faced with this kind of experience.
Right. And I think the shamanic approach is a major aspect of dealing with the phenomena. But I also, and I think that's why your work is so important. You're a real bridge. And I think the most, you know, not just compliment to you, but the solid bridge between all these phenomena that put it under consciousness. So many people segregate the phenomena into shamanic or abduction or whatever, but it needs to come together because I feel we're evolving consciousness at this time in our history. So I understand that. But I do want to say that many abduction, if you believe the, was it the Bud Hopkins and John Mack study for, what was that? It was some organization that took a survey and they found
The Roper poll.
Yes.
The Roper poll.
There could be as much as, what, 5% of the world population, at least the U.S. population, but there could be millions and millions of people who've had this experience who have no idea, you know, who blocked it out, who don't even, not even capable of converting it into a shamanic experience. How do we start to awaken some, you know, measure of possibility in those people?
You're absolutely right. And I think that that was the tip of the iceberg. To be quite honest, one of the recent polls, the one poll in the UK, came up with about 18% of the population. I think it's far higher than that. The only reason that we've got this small percentage is for many people, they actually don't know what's going on. That many of them will see themselves as being, psychiatrically unsound because they don't know any different. And when they contact me, they'll be saying, "Mary, I think I'm going crazy." So first of all, it's about education. And as you mentioned, Free, the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters is not just about looking at it from a what I would call the Bud Hopkins perspective, even though he was valuable in his time. He didn't want to go to consciousness whatsoever, although Dr. John Mack certainly did and was very open to looking at this from this greater perspective. And I resonate so much more with that because I see personal transformation from these experiences all the time. People change their lives once this has happened. They have more holistic lifestyles. They are refocused on what they explore in their lives, from diet to spiritual practices, wanting to help the planet, all of these transformative aspects from their experience, which was never owned by Bud and others of that ilk that still saw it as very much as in a victim perspective. Right. Only a very small percentage of my clients, and I've worked with over 3,000 now, and 20% may be traumatized, and it's not always by what's happened with the beings, but more traumatized about managing it in a third dimensional reality that denies it. So when they get an understanding that they can own this and it's okay and they're not going to fall apart, they'll actually become more integrated with their understanding. The majority are those that are actually quite okay with the fact they're interacting with other beings. They may be clairvoyant, clairaudient, they're already perhaps, you know, aware that they have guides or spirit helpers, or they see angels, or they see fairies or elementals or whatever, but they may not put it together, as you said, Alan, with the fact that some of them may actually be extraterrestrial or interdimensional beings. In fact, it's all the one in the way that I understand it. It's just what lens do we want to perceive our multidimensional reality with? And for some, if they come from a religious perspective, it'll be angels and demons. And if it's, you know, from a clairvoyant, mediumistic point of view, it may be spirit guides or whatever. If it's UFOs, it will be, you know, the greys and the light beings and, you know, the different humanoids or the crystal beings or the feline beings or whatever. It's all, to me, is the lens that we're ready to perceive our multidimensional reality with, and the interpretation will come from that. And it's really important, I think, to be as neutral in terms of how we interpret these experiences, because we just haven't the data at this point in time to fully understand what it is that all these individuals, and we're talking about all belief systems here. We're talking about, you don't have to believe in ETs to see them. You know, this misconception that, you know, they're all space cadets and watch Star Trek. Not at all. Not at all.
I know. But there is, I mean, just from, let's call it an objective point of view, if such a thing is possible, there are, according to what I believe, there are ETs, there are, who are physical, I feel, live maybe in and out or not so much in this dimension, but there are angelic beings, there are dimensional beings, there, all these beings exist, and they're all, of course, an aspect of consciousness, but I wouldn't want to put them all in the same category, because I think there are differences. You know what I mean?
I mean, what I'm really trying to say is, really, first of all, we've got to understand that everything that we perceive as non-physical, in the sense that, you know, not everyone can see certain beings or whatever, is that we've got to open up to our multidimensional world, which is, in fact, different levels of frequency. So you've got those that are certainly very physical and solid, and we know that some of them are probably walking around this planet, and you wouldn't know that they were extraterrestrial because they are fully biological beings, for example. But some of them also can work between dimensions and can actually portray themselves in a physical form. So we've got this, all these different ways that they can, if you like, present themselves to us, depending on our readiness to be aware of that multidimensional level of frequency. And the interesting thing seems to be that the way our frequency changes allows us to perceive more and more of our non-physical world. And then we are going to be looking at ones where we understand, you know, the light beings, you know, can be angelic beings, for example. I think it's all down to the individual and how they best can manage to interpret and understand what it is that they are perceiving or experiencing.
Right. I get that. And I like that you keep talking about the aspect of multidimensionality, because that's a idea that I'm open to and interested in understanding, and that we're not these linear beings that we've been taught, limited in time and space. But what you're really saying, what I get that you're really saying, is that you're redefining who the human being is. That's what I feel. That's in that understanding, you know, and that's what needs to happen. We need a broader definition of who we think we are.
Absolutely. I think that what we're now ready to discover, and I think this is the level of where we're reaching in our human consciousness, is that we are multidimensional in nature. I remember a 9-year-old, a very aware, what I call starseed young lady, say to me, "Mary, human beings are incredible in what they are and what they can achieve, but they don't realize it yet." Now, this is a 9-year-old explaining her understanding of who we are. And we're seeing evidence of this all the time. Alan, with these new children coming in that will tell you what they're seeing and their experiences with these different beings and how they understand them, going up onto spacecraft, learning how to use consciousness, their mind. And one little 8-year-old told me his brain waves to work with other children on the craft, where they were learning how to use their brain waves, as he called it, to understand complex geometric forms, learn about black holes, learn about the nature of physics from a way that is completely different to how at the moment we are trying to understand from our limited perceptions, even though the quantum hologram is getting close perhaps to how we can start to understand the parallel universes, as we're told, you know, the many dimensions, for example. There's lots of theories out there, and all of that, and maybe more, you know, what we think is possible, of course, we haven't got a clue. You know, what we think is impossible, maybe more than possible. I mean, what I'm really saying is we have to look at the raw data, and from the raw data, allow the information then to present to us what may be a window into our multidimensional selves.
Right. It's like in a way, as you're talking, I'm getting the image that contact, disclosure, whatever you want to call that, is an internal process. It's been left up to us as a collective group of human beings to access those relationships in our self and our awakening of our mind in order for it to really manifest in a global phenomena. You know, I mean, it's happening globally, but the contact experience is inside us waiting for our awakening. That's
absolutely. Absolutely. I think that we have incarnated at this time to be part of a shift in the collective soul of Homo sapiens. And with that, we're all windows into those realities. And the fascinating, you know, thing for me is that when we start listening to each other and we stop discriminating against personal reality, and we start to explore how each one of us interacts with not just our physical world, but our non-physical world, because the accounts that I'm getting from people that share with me their true reality would blow people's minds. And these are ones that cannot share it publicly.
Well, tell me one thing that would blow people's mind. I'm curious. I mean, if you want to share some of those, because this program, people are open. I'm open. I'm just curious what you're getting.
All right. You've put out the challenge there, Alan. I'll give you one. When I do a lot of hypnosis, and I've done many hundreds now, remember, not everybody, you know, believes in what is uncovered when they go into the subconscious, superconscious part of themselves. And this is what we're accessing. When you go into a trance state, if someone trusts enough, they can access everything from what we would call as past lives, for example. Mm-hmm. One gentleman, he was a young man, an artist, a graphic artist, told me that he was in a space where he could see he was not human. So he was mm-hmm. describing himself looking like what we would call a traditional ET. And I said to him, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, we're moving something massive from one dimension to the other." Mm. And I said, and what is this massive thing that you're moving?" And he said, "It's a planet." He said, "We've moved it too quickly through the dimensions, and we have actually unsettled and distorted its energy, and now we have to fix it." Mm. Now,
I think that's great. I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's true or real, but I like it in it. And, you know, I'm open to that being true because, you know, the moon, if you want to get specific, I think the moon was something that was pulled into place by a greater civilization and helped to balance the energies on the earth and move the tides and clean the atmosphere. So I think the moon, I thought you were actually going to say the moon was, because I feel it was brought here from someplace else.
Well, if I can believe some of the children, and the reason I mention the children is because they don't watch talk shows and they don't read books. When you have an 8-year-old child telling you that the moon is artificial, for example, and that some clouds are not clouds, they're spacecraft, etc. I listen to that because it's not something that you know, normally a young child under 10 would have any conception of. So that was just one young child telling me that. Another child told me that there are, if you like, gates that the craft move through on the moon as well as on this planet. He calls them, you know, they're a bit like wormholes or portals on you know, not on only on planet Earth, but also, and this is on Mars as well as on the moon. And we do know now there's so many photographs and information to show artificial structures on the moon. Look, you know, to me, you really just have to go on the internet and make up your own mind because it's all there. And you don't have to be a genius to actually try and work things out and see that this is a real possibility that you know, we know the public is just not told the truth. And it's time for them to you know, the internet is a wonderful tool to show you more of what you need to know.
Right. And I think things like crop circles, at least some of them, maybe not all of them, are these interdimensional writings with messages to wake us up. So,
and I agree with that. And when, again, you get children of 3, 4, and 5 telling their parents, and this is the term they use, the scaries make those. These are children of 3, 4, and 5 that don't know anything other than what they're seeing and understanding that they are certainly not man-made. Although, of course, we know some are. I mean, it's you know, and that's been part of the crop circle phenomena. I've been in one myself, and I've been in one with a scientist who has been studying these for many, many years. And he says, I can't believe other scientists like myself are not looking at this amazing phenomena, because it's all there. It's all there that, you know.
Yeah, no, I think governments are looking at it and they're studying it, and they're creating machines and maybe even interdimensional doorways, I'm sure. And they're not telling the public. There's so much that, you know, our governments, maybe not Australian, but at least the U.S. is not telling people about what's happening, you know. So...
Oh, I think it's right across the board, Alan. I think that it's in, you know, there are people within the governments that know. I'm not saying all of them know. I think certainly some of our politicians, what I'd call puppets anyway. But no, for sure, it's everywhere. There are those behind the governments who know absolutely the truth of all of this, and that we're being visited by, multiple numbers of different species.
Right. I mean, the only reason I'm interested in this is because somehow I feel connected to that. I mean, I've had, my experiences have been dreamlike. I can't say I was in a normal state when I've seen beings. It's, for me, it's always a slight dreaming aspect. Maybe I just have to get more conscious, perhaps. I mean, what do you suggest to me?
Well, you know, my understanding, Alan, is they are very aware of the fragility of the human psyche. So it's a process of waking up, so that initially when you are picked up, either physically or in an out-of-body state, they're doing it very gently, and they're doing it in a dream state so that you don't overreact. Because as many, especially with some of the more fragile humanoids, that if we were awake and they came to pick us up, we would probably destroy them in some way or damage them so much that they say, you know, that's the only way they can do it. But as we become more accepting of this whole phenomena, as I find so many of my clients ultimately are, when they give over wanting to deny it and actually wanting to understand it, then they get more and more evidence of its reality from, you know, in many, many ways. Sometimes they're found outside with all the doors locked, and it's like, well, can you deny this now because you're outside? And we've come to visit, and their night clothes may be completely rearranged or in the cupboard or somewhere where they know full well. They don't even know how they got there, for example. Marks on the body is another one, which fluoresce under black ultraviolet light. All these things create the reality that finally people can start to accept it.
Well, have you had any of your own? I'm just curious if you want to share anything that, you know, what's gotten you into this field and what's happened to you?
Alan, I say I've got no conscious recall, and I'm very careful when I say that, because some people have told me they've seen me up there. So I think with me, it's been very useful to come in with what I call a blank slate in that sense, so that whoever comes to me, I am not being triggered on any level in terms of their experiences, which gives, you know, a clarity to it. But that doesn't mean I don't sense things. I mean, I've always in recent years been aware of energies, sensing energies around. I can see energy fields around people, for example. And I do get a lot what I would call clairvoyantly, which is my little screen that comes up, and I get a sense of things or a sense that things are going on, which is my way of tapping into the multidimensional world. And I can't wait to see that craft land on my front lawn and go up and wait for whoever's going to come out and shake their hand, because I would like the tangible side of this, to be honest, even though I'll probably freak out at the same time.
Well, we do freak out, because that's why I haven't been as conscious as I can. But in a way, you're doing the work. I mean, you're you're a bridge and a facilitator. You're almost an ET yourself in what you're doing for the planet. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm being called the ET space mother and space mama and all sorts of things. But I agree with you. I feel my role, because I haven't had the experience in terms of the media, in terms of, you know, being resourced from that perspective, it actually helps the cause for me to say, no, I don't have this experience, but I believe this is a reality. And what it's done is allow me to know from both perspectives. And why, you know, why people struggle sometimes to take this on board, because it's been my journey too. Is this real? You know, am I just kidding myself and allowing my clients to kid themselves that this is a reality? So I've looked at it from so many levels, as they have done, from anthropology, archaeology, from the DNA anomalies that we, you know, that nobody seems to be aware of half the time, that we have 223 genes in our DNA that are a sideways insertion of genetic material, all to do with higher psychological functioning. Where did it come from? It didn't come up the invertebrate phase. Who put it there? There's one of your clues. They're right there. The most important one of all, as far as I'm concerned.
So where's that? Where can I find that research that you just talked about, the DNA? Where do you see that? I'm just curious. Well,
actually, you can see it not only in my presentations, but it's if you look under anything to do with DNA and the anomalies in DNA, I've actually got information from a deep throat geneticist that explains in the intervention theory, and that was all Lloyd Pye's research in the Star Child skull, for example.
Yeah. Yes.
At the very back of that, he allowed me to use what this deep throat whistleblower geneticist was saying. There is so much evidence of manipulation with our genes in terms of splicing with different genes and what have you. And he said, and nobody speaks about it. Nobody dare speak about it because, you know, they would be ignored and ostracized. And yet it's right there in front of us. We are a created intelligence, and we went from Neanderthal man, Cro-Magnon man, to Homo sapiens sapiens with twice the brain size. And there is no missing, you know, there's a huge missing link. Where and how did we actually, you know, come to be here? It's all there. I mean, so yes, the evidence is there without question.
Right. No, I get that. And so many people are now opening up to that, the whole Zachariah Sitchin, Anunnaki thesis, that it's definitely, we are different than every other animal on the planet. There's something totally different. Of course, dolphins have a multidimensional awareness, but they may have come from someplace else. I just want to talk about, in your book, The Awakening, How Extraterrestrial Consciousness Can Transform Your Life. This is the kind of stuff you're talking about, right? This multidimensional awakening that can transform these people's lives, right? Is that it?
Yes. I mean, the idea of the book was, so many people don't know where to go when they have experiences. They're afraid, many of them, to go to traditional, you know, to the psychologist or the psychiatrist, because they're pretty certain the way that it will be interpreted. Not that all of them are as closed-minded perhaps as some, but it's a bit like, you know, playing with dice, really. Is this one going to medicate me, or are they going to actually listen? So my whole idea was provide, if you like, a workbook, a process, a manual, a how-to understand what's going on. How do you know I'm not crazy, for example? How do I know if I've got implants? How do I know if this is happening to my family? You know, what can I do because I'm terrified? All those kind of missing pregnancy, they're all there. Plus a young lady who writes about her own understanding of being a starseed, for example. So this book was really giving enough information to start people on the track of understanding what's going on for them. If there's no one they can talk to, no one they can resource. And that was the purpose of doing it, because all the questions I got asked over the phone was those kinds of questions. So for me, it was, you know, yes, you can read books on people's case studies. You can read books on people that have had the experiences. But there are all those other things that come up that may not be in one case study or one particular story, because this is really broad. We've got the abductions that are, you know, we've got MyLab, which is another aspect of this, which is the government's doing the pseudo abductions and making people believe it's ET. You've got this starseed phenomena where they are not traumatized by the ETs who they see as their family. They're traumatized by human beings and how barbaric they are and what the hell are they doing on a planet like this, which is so primitive and they don't understand it.
Right. Right. No, the phenomena is massive and so complex in a way, and we need to have these conversations and come together and support each other. I mean, I was the MC last year at the Joshua Tree Contact in the Desert phenomenon for 2,000 people. Do you know about that gathering?
Yes, I certainly do. And I've seen there are some amazing speakers there, which is absolutely brilliant. So, I mean, it's wonderful when you get these conferences that are finally out there and covering such a matrix of information. It is in itself is just a beautiful energy.
Right. I'm going to see if I can. I'll mention your name to the organizers because they'll be doing more. Conferences coming up. There's actually, I'm hosting the one or emceeing the one in May that's happening with Eric Von Doniken, a lot of people that's in the field, Linda Moulton Howe. But I do want to say, as this phenomena becomes more widespread, these kind of questions and these kind of awarenesses of multidimensionality come up, because I was at the citizens hearings for Disclosure. Do you know the one that Stephen Bassett put together?
Absolutely. It was brilliant.
It was brilliant. In that conference, in that meeting with these former U.S. Congress people, there was a moment where they finally, the first couple of days, they were not really taking it seriously. And then there was a moment where they got it. And it's like, oh my God, this stuff is real and something is really happening there. There was an awakening among those people. And in that conference, the most, enlightening testimony was by Linda Moulton Howe when she talked about a military man, U.S. military, telling her what it was like to face an ET that his commanders had him face. You remember that? And he said it was like 7 3D movies being downloaded into his psyche at one time. And it was sort of overwhelming. Do you remember that testimony?
I do. And this is why I'm really excited about my understanding of how we are shifting and how these new children coming in, what I call the new programs, and what Dr. William Brown talked about, the same thing. And we label them as ADHD and Asperger's and certain types of autism and dyslexia. They're actually the new programs, I firmly believe, because they have more of the gene or genome being switched on. And because they operate differently, we say they are dysfunctional. But actually, they are tapping in to a greater multidimensional reality than the rest of us. And many of the autistic children now have been shown to be telepathic, for example. And the ADHDs are operating at a higher frequency. So they have to be dumbed down to operate in a third dimensional world that we still consider as reality. And it's not being understood. And this is part of my research now, is to actually work on, if you like, educating the public to the new programs, the Homo Noeticus, all these different ones. And I'm working with a scientist in Sweden who herself calls herself a letter person, because she says these are all letter people. She says she has more sensitivity in the ends of her fingers and her skin, for example. They are able to perceive more of the multidimensional reality. They are able to not only remote view, but also remote influence. They're able to see through solid objects, so many of these children. And these are the ones that are struggling in our third dimensional world, because that is not their reality. And what we need to do now is understand how they operate, so we can actually be brought along rather than the other way around. And I think this is to do with us being switched on. I think when we get to a certain frequency, we only use 5% of our DNA. What's the rest? What's the 95% for? We use 1% of our brain. You know, they say that. They say that. I think it's the supercomputer, to be honest. To me, Alan, this is the supercomputer being, when we get switched on and that 95% is operating, we are going to be a completely different being in every sense of the word. And this is how I feel this is all going to happen.
Well, I feel that too. And I feel that the Earth, the acceleration of this dimensional frequency is part of switching us on. And that's why these children are already at that higher state. But do you think it'll be a time like boom, it's the switch goes, or do you see it as this gradual progression?
It's a hard one to answer because I'm finding so many people waking up now. And I'm absolutely blitzed with emails from people from all walks of life, from lawyers, doctors, nurses, clinicians of different kinds to the, you know, the farmers and the housewives, saying that something happened for them, whether it's the sighting of a craft or it's a particular experience, and everything in their life has changed from that moment. And a lot has happened in the last few years. So what I'm seeing is a process on one level with many people aware something big is about to occur. And many of them call it an event. Many of them have an anticipation of it. They feel something significant is ahead. And when I talk to the 9-year-old in Northern Europe who speaks 3 star languages and who says she speaks one language at water to heal it, for example, told me that from 2012 to 2017 was the crucial time for humanity. And this is when everything is going to shift. So how it's going to be, I don't know, Alan. I can't tell you, but it may be a multiple way it's going to occur, and I can't say more than that, really.
So you think there could be a mass landing, but I think they're waiting for us for our minds to shift so we don't freak out, and it might take 20, 50 years. I mean, we're being prepared for something for sure. And
I think absolutely. And this scientist I'm working with said that we're separating out into 2 frequencies, the low frequency people and the high frequency people. And it's choice whether we go down one route or another. And that's really interesting because I don't know whether you're seeing this polarity going on the planet right now.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
It's exactly that, isn't it? Exactly that.
Well, it does seem like that. Those that are indulging in the violence and, you know, that I think that movie American Sniper won the best picture. How ridiculous, you know, at the Academy Award. It's like this. Yeah, there's the density and those people are trying, others that are trying to keep that higher vibration. And it does seem like 2 worlds are being created almost.
So. Well, some say, you know, they're talking about the new earth, and I'm not sure what the new earth actually is, only that we've got small children talking about it. And one of them is a lady from Turkey whose daughter drew a picture of the new earth with a script, and her mother said to her, "What is this planet?" And she said, "Oh, that's the new earth, Mum." And her mother said, "And what do you mean by that? You know, what is the new earth?" And she said, "I can't tell you yet because it's a secret."
Mm. That's beautiful. That's great. So it could be that this event will happen within, who knows, the next few years. I mean, I think people have been waiting for that for a long time. You know, while I've been in Australia, I've met a bunch of Aborigines who are already in touch with these multidimensional awarenesses. Have you had contact with them and listened to their stories?
Absolutely, because, you know, what is fascinating, the indigenous tribes all across the planet already know about the star visitors, already know that, you know, the Wandjina, for example, you know, has been part of their dream time. And even the mantis beings that so many people see now, they say those are the Mamu. And in South Africa, the Hosa call the mantis beings the ones who teach. It's right across the board. They know they're comfortable. They're at ease with it. They know they get taken. They know that sometimes they're implanted with crystals. They're shown various places to go on their sacred lands, for example. And, you know, we could learn so much from the indigenous peoples if we would only listen, because it's all there and as their understanding.
Oh, what's that, Doug? Oh, is there a call? All right, let's put one on. Thanks. Yeah, you want to listen to a caller there, Mary?
Absolutely, Alan. No problem.
Okay, go ahead. Put them through, Doug.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi. Pleasure to talk to you. I wrote you an email earlier today. I just wanted to inform you that, well, I'm sure that you know that there are a lot of incarnates here who are helping with the transition, and I guess you can say that I was about the second wave of the indigos that came in to the early 1980s. And my question to you would be, have you heard from the 80s kids, or are they a little bit more quieter as opposed to the newer children?
Thank you. It's a great question. And yes, I'm hearing from all the generations up to, you know, the ones in their 70s and 80s that have never spoken about this to anyone until now, for example, which is quite profound in itself. It's like they all know they're here with a mission. They've got a task. And some of them, as I say, you know, they feel in when they get to their late 60s or 70s that maybe they, you know, they're now too mature to help. And I don't believe that's the case at all. I think we have needed the different generations as part of the bridge to each other, for example, and each one. Yeah, that's exactly right. As yours, and there's this knowing that, you know, sometimes it's about timing too. And I feel that when you need to know everything you need to know, some come to me and say, you know, I know I've got things in my head, but I can't access them yet, and I want to know more about what my role is. And I think that this is about timing. I think you will know exactly when the time comes, what is the next step for you. And it's just a matter of you can't know too soon because it would get in the way.
I think that we are approaching a very critical time where we have to all connect. All of the generations have to connect, and that's something that I've been getting personally. So I've been trying to connect with everyone I possibly can, because it feels that we're holding a space for the energies to come in and sort of permeate throughout the world. And
Well, why don't you come to Joshua Tree in May, the end of May, where there'll be about 2,000 people that are trying to bring awareness to this situation. What's your name?
My name is Lisa Melendez.
Oh, thanks, Lisa. We're almost out of time, so I just wanted to wrap up. But thanks for calling there.
That's fine. Thank you so much, Lisa. It was a pleasure.
Take care.
And if people want to reach you, Mary, how can they reach you?
Well, I'm on Facebook, but I'm also, all they need to do is Google Mary Rodwell and up comes ASCERN, my website, and you can contact me via my website as well. And I also have a newsletter which people can subscribe to. So it's all there. You just have to put my name up, and it isn't Mary Roswell, just for those of you that like to make a joke. You do have to put Mary Rodwell.
No, but thank you. But you know, actually, that questioner brought up an idea for me is that for me, it feels like the phenomena is changing. I feel like there's, at least in my experience, there's less abductions, the hardcore abductions going on. Do you find that true? Or is that...
You're spot on, Alan. It's absolutely now. It's more and more of those that are aware of their starseed heritage, whether they see themselves as hybrids, dual consciousness, walk-ins, any of those, and others that are first, second, or third waves. Well, however they understand themselves, there's a whole matrix now of different humans that are coming from somewhere else to help this planet.
Well, I think part of the abduction experience was getting the genetics to create the hybrid race. And I don't agree with David Jacobs that they're going to take over this planet. I think that's ridiculous. I think they're creating, maybe it's the new Earth or maybe that's someplace, but there's this other breed that has the best of our human ability to feel and be compassionate with that higher, more evolved intelligence of these ET beings. And they're going someplace else. But I think that phase of genetic harvesting is complete, in what I feel. What do you think?
Look, there are so many agendas and so many different intelligences with their own mandates. Some are more benevolent and some more perhaps self-serving than others. But in the matrix of it all, we're all interacting with one another. We're all consciousness. And when we go back to the source of all of that, this is all part of what is orchestrated between all of us. So, you know, in my understanding, there's actually no victims at all. We are all just part of this upgrade in terms of evolving, growing, learning, and being all that we can be.
Yeah, but that phase of genetic manipulation, do you think it's still happening or is it complete?
Well, it is still going on with some intelligences. From the accounts that I'm hearing from different people around the globe, it still seems to be going on. I don't know yet what that all means, other than the fact that some believe they are part of these programs to help with this evolution.
I think so too. And I think what you've been saying throughout the program is as we wake up to this multidimensional mind, we start to integrate these, let's call them ET realities, and we will live on a new earth. And you've been saying that too, right? I mean, but in that, I'm just curious, what does this new earth, let's say we wake up to these possibilities, these ETs are interacting in these interdimensional, what does the world look like to you, or what could it look like? Can you describe that future?
Well, if my theory is correct, and I've got no idea whether it is, I believe that when we get switched on, we will then be able, we'll be at like a new supercomputer against the old Amstrad. You know, we will literally be operating multidimensionally. And with that, we need the new software, of course, which I think is being downloaded in forms of symbols, in forms of scripts, in forms of these complex artworks and frequency from music and all these kinds of things, which are helping to switch us on. When we do that, we will then recognize ourselves. We will recognize our connection to many of these intelligences that we are part of. And, you know, we'll be able to shapeshift. We'll be able to be in whatever genetic link we have with these different beings and operating literally on levels that, you know, we can't even imagine. It would be like showing caveman a hologram, and that would be the new reality. For us, it will be exactly the same thing, but we will be prepared for it and we'll be ready for it, because by then we will be of that frequency too.
So planetarily wise and lifestyle wise, it's the time where there would be no more war, there'd be abundance, there'd be, you know, all that possibility of a truly utopian planet. Do you see that happening?
Well, you know, Bob Dean, the grandfather of ufology, told us recently in an interview that he was spent 6 weeks on the craft, and he's only recently done that in his 80s. And he said he was shown the future, and he said although there was going to be a challenging time to begin with, he saw the future for humanity, and he said it was glorious. So you make up your own mind how you interpret glorious.
Well, meanwhile, we have to keep moving ahead and spreading the word and waking people up. Actually, I'm doing a workshop on multidimensionality up on the Sunshine Coast next week. Are you near the Sunshine Coast or not really?
No, I'm about 4 or 5 hours away from the Sunshine Coast. Okay. Unfortunately, because it would have been lovely. Although I'm going to, when you talked about the conference with Von Daniken, I'm actually speaking at the Nexus conference, and Von Daniken's coming to speak there as well. So I'll have the pleasure to meet this wonderful gentleman who's been a favorite of mine for many, many years.
Oh, he's one of the grandfathers of this consciousness.
Absolutely.
And I feel he's been actually guided to do and to come out the way he had. In you know, in making the chariots of the gods an awareness that ET presence have been here for a long time. So what is coming up for you as we wrap up here? What are you having any other events or speaking engagements?
Yes, Nexus is the next one. I'm going to be speaking in Melbourne and Perth this year, but I'm in the middle of writing my second book about the children and the teenagers at the moment, so I'm trying to focus on that. And also now, of course, letting people know about Free, the new organization that I'm involved with, which is multidisciplinary in terms of, we've got Dr. Edgar Mitchell, you know, Dr. Rudy Shield, for example. So a whole range of wonderful people that are putting out the bridge between the old and the new. So very exciting times, wonderful things are going on. And I think also I'd like to just say here, Alan, you're doing a brilliant job, because without people like yourself putting this out there, you know, so many people would be lost. So, you know, kudos for all the hard work that you're doing as well.
Well, thank you, Mary. I mean, I have to admit, I'm doing it for myself so I can integrate these phenomena. And it's like you said, we have to keep supporting each other, because you can get lost in this, in the world that all this just is ridiculous and silly and doesn't make any sense, because it doesn't make sense in the world that we've been conditioned to think is real and not the real world, you know? So, I appreciate your work. And when is the Nexus conference? What's the date?
That's the end of July, actually. So I'm looking forward to that, because I always meet so many wonderful people when I go to these conferences. For me, that is the blessing of all, is just meeting, you know, like-minded souls that are all on the same journey. How beautiful is that? And the same will be going for the Joshua Tree, I'm sure. You all help one another stay on track.
Yes, and it's a great, the Joshua Tree Contact in the Desert Conference is happening May 29th to the 31st, and you can look up Joshua Tree Retreat Center or Contact in the Desert, and I'll be emceeing one of the stages and hosting some panels there. I'm also speaking at a Survival of Humanity conference in LA for people listening on March 29th to the 31st with people like Laura Eisenhower and some other ET-related folks there. And I'm going to share my research about the Aboriginals and all this. But thank you, Mary, for your time and all the work you're doing. I look forward to your next book. And I will show you a book I'm writing about all this, which is, I'm hoping to be a bridge for the mainstream to say, oh my God, this stuff is real and it's happening. And we need all of us to keep supporting this vision, because it's not easy, if you listen to mainstream culture and the news, to hold on to something that's so outside the norm, but it's becoming more normal. So we'll just see how the event unfolds, right?
Absolutely. And it's I'm just really grateful for the opportunity to share a little about, you know, my understanding of this, but, you know, just to connect with like-minded souls. So thank you so much.
Well, you're always doing interviews. You said you did four last week. So, okay, I'll be in touch and I'll reach out again maybe on this trip. Thanks, Mary.
Have a wonderful trip, Alan. I hope you enjoy your time in Australia.
I will. I've been talking to Mary Rodwell, R-O-D-W-E-L-L. She's the founder and principal of Australian Close Encounter Resource Network, A-C-E-R-N. And she's also just founded a new organization called FREE. And FREE stands for, I have it here somewhere. Oh, yeah. The FREE. Okay, you tell them, Mary.
The Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters, but it basically is about consciousness.
Great, because that's what it's all about. Thank you. I'm Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com, or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Also, check my YouTube channel, where many interviews with many authors about UFOs at youtube.com/newrealities. Thanks for listening today, and good night.
Good night.